Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Manufacturing Consent, The Political Economy of the Mass Media is a landmark work of media criticism and political economy by Edward S. Herman and Noam Chomsky. First published in 1988, it argues that mainstream U.S. news organizations should not be understood simply as neutral observers reporting events, but as institutions shaped by ownership, advertising, sourcing patterns, organized criticism, and dominant ideology. The book's purpose is to explain why media coverage often aligns with the interests of powerful political and economic actors, even without direct censorship. Rather than relying on a single conspiracy explanation, it presents a structural model of how news is filtered and framed. The authors support this argument with historical case studies drawn from foreign policy, war reporting, and international human rights issues. As a result, the book became influential in journalism, media studies, and political science, and remains widely discussed as a foundational critique of how consent is shaped in modern democracies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the propaganda model as a structural explanation of media bias. The book's central contribution is the propaganda model, which explains media bias as the product of institutional pressures rather than isolated failures of individual journalists. Herman and Chomsky argue that mass media in market societies are organized in ways that make certain stories more likely to appear, while others are minimized or excluded. This matters because it shifts the analysis away from personal prejudice and toward the system that selects and shapes information before it reaches the public. The model is meant to show why coverage can consistently favor state and corporate interests, even when newsrooms present themselves as independent. By framing propaganda as a routine outcome of normal media operations, the authors offer a theory that is political, economic, and organizational at once. The book is therefore less about occasional misinformation than about the predictable limits of media institutions embedded in concentrated power structures. Secondly, how ownership and advertising narrow the range of permissible reporting. A major theme in the book is that media companies are businesses first, and their commercial structure strongly affects content. Large ownership groups tend to have interests that overlap with other major economic actors, making it unlikely that they will support reporting that seriously threatens those interests. Advertising deepens this constraint, because media outlets depend on revenue from advertisers rather than directly from audiences alone. That dependence encourages content that is safe, broadly acceptable, and unlikely to alienate corporate sponsors. The result is not necessarily blatant censorship, but a subtle narrowing of what gets covered and how sharply it is criticized. Stories that challenge consumer culture, corporate concentration, or elite policy assumptions are harder to sustain in such an environment. Herman and Chomsky use this argument to show that market pressure can shape editorial outcomes long before any explicit editorial decision is made, which makes the bias structural rather than accidental. Thirdly, sourcing and flack as everyday mechanisms of control. The book gives special importance to sourcing because news organizations rely heavily on official institutions, major corporations, and approved experts for a steady flow of information. This dependence makes journalism efficient, but it also encourages reporters to reproduce the frames of those same institutions. If the primary sources are governments, military officials, business leaders, and established policy elites, the resulting news will often reflect their assumptions and priorities. Flack works as the disciplinary counterpart to sourcing. When media outlets deviate too far from accepted narratives, they may face complaints, pressure campaigns, legal threats, or public attacks that make further deviation costly. Together, these filters help explain why some viewpoints are repeatedly amplified, while others remain marginal. The book's point is not that journalists never challenge power, but that the system rewards access and punishes persistent independence. In practice, that produces a form of self-limiting journalism that appears pluralistic while remaining tightly bounded. Fourthly, worthy and unworthy victims in the politics of empathy. One of the book's most memorable ideas is the distinction between worthy and unworthy victims, which refers to the unequal media treatment of suffering, depending on who is responsible and whose interests are involved. The authors argue that victims of abuses by official enemies tend to receive more extensive and emotionally charged coverage than victims harmed by allied or strategic powers. This pattern matters because media attention helps determine which tragedies become part of public memory and which are minimized or forgotten. By comparing cases across foreign policy and conflict reporting, the book shows how moral language in journalism can conceal political selectivity. Suffering is not presented in a neutral way. It is filtered through geopolitical alignment. The concept is useful because it captures how media can produce a hierarchy of human concern without openly endorsing it. It also reveals how humanitarian rhetoric can coexist with selective silence, allowing audiences to feel informed while absorbing a distorted map of the world. Lastly, Why the book remains important for foreign policy and media literacy. Manufacturing consent has lasting influence because its argument is not tied to one historical moment, although many of its examples come from Cold War and post-war US. Policy, the book has remained relevant to later debates about war coverage, protest movements, global institutions, and corporate power. Its value lies in giving readers a method for asking how information is produced, whose sources dominate coverage, and what kinds of interests are normalized as common sense. This makes it especially useful for students, journalists, activists, and readers who want to evaluate news more critically without relying on simple claims that all media are equally false. The book stands out because it combines a general theory with concrete historical analysis, which gives it more explanatory force than books that only offer opinion or anecdote. Even readers who disagree with some conclusions often find the framework useful for thinking about media incentives, agenda setting, and the political economy behind public information. In conclusion, Manufacturing Consent is best suited for readers who want a serious, theory-driven critique of modern journalism, especially those interested in media studies, political science, history, and the politics of foreign policy. It is valuable for students because it introduces a durable framework for analyzing how news is filtered before it reaches the public. It is valuable for journalists because it encourages reflection on sourcing, access, and institutional pressure. It is valuable for general readers because it offers a way to read headlines more critically, without requiring specialized technical knowledge. What distinguishes the book from many other media criticism titles is its structural approach. It does not simply accuse the press of bias, but explains how commercial media systems can systematically generate bias while still appearing objective. Its combination of a clear model, broad historical scope, and recurring real-world applications has made it one of the most influential works ever written about propaganda and public consent. Readers looking for a compact, optimistic account of journalism will not find it here, but readers looking for a rigorous framework to understand media power will find its argument unusually durable and useful. If you would like to support Edward S. Herman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.